The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
A potentially controversial decision has been made for pornography to be studied in class under a new junior cert revamp. Now, this decision comes as Vodafone Ireland have revealed the results of a study showing that 9 out of 10 parents are fearful over what their children see online. Now, here to talk to us about the importance of online safety for young people is John Church, Chief Executive of the ISPCC, and Dr. Siobhan O'Higgins, who is a sexual health promoter and co-lead of the Active Consent Program, member of the NCCA Development Group for Junior Cycle SPHE. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, John, first of all, with me in studio, Vodafone did this survey to mark the launch of SecureNet, which is a new digital protection product. And it's not surprising, maybe, that parents are deeply concerned about the access that their kids have to all sorts of material on the internet.
You're right, Pat. It's a great piece of research. No, there's no surprises there. It's just what parents do with that information now. There's one thing about being concerned and anxious. It's what you actually do with it. And this is where, you know, childhood is changing. People say, oh, children are different nowadays. It's actually childhood is quite different. I think children nowadays have very different issues to deal with during than you and I as we were growing up. And we often say online safety is the child protection issue of our day. Yeah. You know, so technology and the internet, they're almost fully embedded into children's lives today. And as a result, they don't get any opportunity or very few opportunities to really switch off.
Now, to dig down a little bit into the survey, the research was of 750 parents of children aged between 4 and 14. 69% of the children use some connected service to the internet every day. Mm-hmm. And two-thirds of them, 62%, are online for between 1 and 3 hours every day.
Yeah. And I suspect, now I haven't looked at this, but if you take, say, the 11 to 14-year-olds, I would say you're in the high 90s. And yeah. This is where we're seeing the cohort of children contacting Childline every single day with issues and fallout and the resulting harm from their encounters on the internet.
What sort of things are you getting through Childline? I mean, are any children ringing you because they, you know, are a bit concerned about what they found on the internet and they don't want to talk to the parents because they're embarrassed?
Correct.
Or are most of your callers about people who feel something inappropriate has happened to them from a third party?
All of the above, Pat. I mean, the anxiety levels, and we saw them increase during COVID, and we see them maintained post-COVID. And this really gets back to the essential thing that parents can do and caregivers is start talking to your parents at a very, very early age, get involved, get interested. Talk to the children, thank you. At a very early age, and start setting boundaries. I mean, we're all used to, you know, in the old days, limiting television time, limiting... The same sort of rules apply with the internet.
So
know what your child is doing.
Give me the phone now. You're not going to your bedroom with that phone.
Correct. Yeah. We conducted some research back in 2017, 2018, I think it was. And it's amazing the high percentage of parents that were technically uncomfortable with the material, their children. So they decided not to get involved. Suddenly the child is more knowledgeable. And that's a very dangerous thing indeed. Mm. So get involved very, very early. Set the boundaries. I mean, we all remember the, you know, the green cross code of safely crossing the road. If you go onto ispcc.ie, there's a digital hub there, and that is the green cross code of online safety. Yeah. So start really early. Start setting the boundaries and take control.
The question of the technical competence of parents, you know, there are, as Jess Kelly regularly tells us on this program when we answer tech questions on a Tuesday for people, many inquiries, how do I protect my child? How do I monitor their phone? And there are tools that are available, but many parents just don't have the knowledge to employ those tools.
Yeah, we also saw from that research we did that, you know, listen, let's face it, parents are under a lot more stress. They're busy. Most parents are all working nowadays. It's kind of an easy out to hand your phone in the car or whatever. I mean, coming out on that research, Pat, as well, that 57% frequently restricted access. I'd like to see that at 100%, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, there are tools. You mentioned the Vodafone SecureNet. That's an excellent tool to restrict in-home and out-of-home. When I say restriction or controls, I mean boundaries. Children need boundaries. All the psychologists will tell you that. So get involved. Get involved with what your children are actually viewing and how often they're online.
Yeah. Now, talking to your parents about anything, I mean, back in the day when there was only a house phone and you wanted to have a conversation with your romantic involvement, shall we say, and, you know, the mortification that your parents might overhear you. And it's a very innocent conversation. I'm thinking back to my childhood, very innocent conversation. You might even have gone to a phone box around the corner to make that call rather than have your parents overhearing it. The stuff that kids, you know, would have to talk to their parents about these days, how mortifying for both parties.
Yes, it is, of course. But that highlights for me how important it is to start talking very, very early and have it as the norm within the household to be talking about these things. You know, children encounter all sorts of stuff online and predominantly age inappropriate material that they don't know how to cope with. So getting in early and, you know, saying to your children that you might come across this, that or the other, and this is how to deal with it.
I mean, we do tell our children, you know, about stranger danger. If you see a fellow who looks dodgy hanging around the schoolyard, all that sort of stuff. And kids do respond if they find someone looks a bit dodgy. They'll tell their parents, even though the threat from that stranger might not ever have been articulated explicitly by the parent. The kids know. So maybe that's the kind of warning you have to say. Look, if you come across something that makes you feel uncomfortable, tell me, no matter what it is.
It's kind of parenting 101, isn't it? You know, if you're looking out of your kitchen into the front garden and you see your 11 or 12-year-old daughter talking to a stranger, you're going to run out and find out who that person is. Yeah. The same rules should apply online.
All right. By the way, this business of having education on pornography in the junior cert cycle, what do you think?
I think it's a great idea. I think we definitely welcome that announcement, and we look forward to the contribution that we hope will be asked for. I mean, every day we're listening on Childline, we see the issues. You know, it's clear the students want it, and credit where credit's due, Pat. The minister is listening to the voices and taking their opinions on board. So listen, we know many children are accessing inappropriate material. You know, they're and the worrying thing is, I think they're getting most of their sex and relationship education from online pornography, and that's wholly inappropriate. So I think the key, though, is how this is going to be delivered.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Dr. Siobhan O'Higgins in a moment. Just one text here. Surely junior cycle is way too late. Age-appropriate education on porn or online activity should start from second class.
I think it might already do in the RSE. I might be wrong, but I think I agree with you with the texture. And that gets back to my earlier point. Parenting starts very, very early in this life.
All right. John, thank you very much. John Church is ISPCC Chief Executive. Dr. Siobhan O'Higgins, who is a sexual health promoter, co-lead of the Active Consent Programme, member of the NCCA Development Group for Junior Cycle, SPHE. Siobhan, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
So tell us what is proposed for the junior cycle.
Well, it's basically looking at what's there and updating it to make sure that it's real. It's actually going to educate our children, to protect them, to reduce their vulnerability. And that's just not for the junior cycle, it's the senior cycle, but also in primary school. Age-appropriate education to protect our children, which is what we need to do.
Who would deliver this kind of material? Because, you know, if you're going to be talking about pornography, do you then have to have examples of it? And, you know,
I mean, it may be a naive question, but you know what I mean?
You're talking about something, and the kids who've not discovered it yet, and they'd be very few, are wondering, what is he or she talking about?
Well, I'd say that most children have seen sexual media. It's not just pornography. It's not going onto a porn site or Pornhub. There's sexual media, sexual images throughout the internet, throughout all the social media, TikTok, all of those things that they're engaging with. They see sexual images that can be confusing and upsetting for them, and they don't know who to talk about it. So it's about building critical thinking, critical media literacy skills for our children. So we have things like CyberSafe Kids. They have a great program program that works in primary school children with primary school children, because the average age that young people are getting phones now is 8 or 9. Plus, we know the average age that people see sexual images is 8 or 9, and it's not necessarily that they're accessing it themselves. They may be shown it by a friend, or they come across it by accident. And the biggest fear that children have is that their parents are going to take away their phones. So it's about our parents, as John said. You know, parents are afraid to talk about this stuff. We, as parents, have to take responsibility. We give them the phones. And it's fantastic that the RSE program is going to be updated to include understanding, like, critical media literacy skills, gives them the tools so that they can think twice about what they're seeing in front of their eyes and to ask what's really going on in the world, instead of accepting all this stuff and say, oh, goodness, is that what I have to do? Oh, so there's 6 people and you do that. Very confusing for children, very confusing for parents. But, I mean, basically, we as parents need to be as accessible to our children as pornography and sexual images are on the phones that they have now.
The question of what the providers of internet services might do, and I mean, it's very hard because you don't know who the end user is, whether it's a child or an adult. But Anthony in Galway poses a question which is a societal one. If I, as an adult, says Anthony, stood outside a school and handed children pictures of women with no tops. Now, suppose they had pants on and they were not posing particularly provocatively, they just were exposing their breasts. What would happen to me? I would be arrested. But internet providers can allow everything through without being held accountable.
Well, absolutely. It's business. They're making money. Like, you know, so, I mean, all the legislation, I mean, they tried to put in legislation in England, they abandoned it. You know, it's almost impossible to do that. So it's about working with parents to give them the skills that they need, as John says, to put boundaries on the phone, but also to talk openly and honestly with your children about the frightening things that they may be seeing. And it's also in the games. I mean, there's a huge amount of misogyny and violence in the games that they're playing. And yet, you know, do we talk to our children about that? So, you know, the whole thing about revamping and updating the RSE program should be welcomed with open arms. And it's not, going back to your former question, Pat, they're not going to be shown examples of pornography, say, this is porn. You know, it's about looking at the scripts that they're being told, looking at what's actually behind these things. So looking at the music, the lyrics in the music, looking at the films that they watch, you know, to understand, to deconstruct what they're being told and to see that it's a fantasy, it's not a reality, and to actually then build an understanding of what healthy relationships might look like. And it's the teachers who are going to have to deliver this. It's the teachers who will use new resources that are being developed, like the Active Consent Program have just developed the Sex on Our Screens resource, which we pre-piloted, then we've piloted, and the young people we piloted it with in the schools said this needs to be in second class, in second year, right? So, you know, because it's too late in third year or TY or fifth year or sixth year. Give our children the skills that they need to deconstruct what they're seeing so they can see, you know, they understand that you don't drive a car like you do in Grand Theft Auto or those games that they play, because they see cars being driven in safe and sensible ways by their parents, by people on the roads, but they don't see sensible and respectful and mutually consensual and mutually enjoyable intimacy in an everyday situation. So they see all this weird stuff, which is just a worry for them and can be very, very frightening, as well as
Now, I know it says like fighting against the tide, but in terms of the technology. But here's a suggestion. Vodafone and all the other internet service providers could very easily give everyone a safe version of the internet by default. All it would take is for them to change their DNS servers. If an over 18 then wants full access, they just opt into a different service from the ISP. It's really simple. It wouldn't fix it 100%. There are always workarounds if somebody really wants to find it, but it would be a good start. I mean, there are a lot of adults who might be happy to have a porn-free access to the internet as well. Yeah?
But the thing is, it's not, as I say, it's not just porn. It's everywhere. Sexual media is everywhere. Sexual images and sexual ideas are everywhere. All on the social media stuff, all of that. How are you going to control all of that? I don't know. I'm not a technician. All I know that if we educate our children, if we give them the skills that they need to sort of see beyond the immediate image and to know, well, that's really worrying. I'm just going to ask my mum about that. Oh, I'm going to ask my dad about that. And to have a parent skills so that we can say, okay, take a breath. Instead of going, oh my God, that's awful, blah, 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 give me your phone, to actually take a breath and say, well, that must have been really worrying. Let's have a look at that. No, you know, that's not how people, you know, respectfully engage in intimacy. That's not a healthy relationship. Let's talk about what a healthy relationship might be. And that's, we have to do this on multiple fronts because, you know, it's everywhere. And it's a scary time. But this is the world we live in. And we're not going to ban phones. It's not, you know, and as you say, children and young people can get around all the blocks you put on because they're media savvy.
Yeah, sure.
They've had, you know, they're far cleverer than I am with a phone. That's for sure.
Some of the text coming in. As a parent, I want access to what my child is being taught in the classroom. Show me what's being taught first. Also, please don't make out that boys and men are all evil in the classroom. I've seen girls and women being mentally abusive to men as well. That's from Laura. I mean, one of the difficulties is that all men will be portrayed as being predators.
Oh, no. No, not at all. In relationships and sexuality education, SBHE education, it's inclusive and it's not pointing the finger at boys. This whole thing about toxic masculinity, it lets society off from the ongoing gendered sexual scripts that have been pervaded for decades. And we have to move away from that. We have to move away from shame and embarrassment in people exploring their sexuality. And we're getting there. And the NCCA is doing a fantastic job working with everybody, talking to parents, talking to teachers, talking to young people to find out what will be acceptable, what they need and how it can be delivered. And then it's about educating teachers to have the confidence and the competence to actually teach children in real ways, because teachers are afraid as well. Teachers are embarrassed as well. So let's get over this, because exploring one's sexuality is a very natural part of being a human being. And actually, every parent, what they want is eventually, when their children are old enough and mature enough to have wonderful intimate relationships and make them grandparents. You know, if we, you know, why don't we do that for our children? And it's about being open and honest with our children. And if you don't know what's going on, if you don't understand things, you say, well, I don't actually understand that. That's really odd to me. Let's explore that together, and to make that a teaching tool, and to look at all the sexual media that's going on and use it as teaching moments for our children, and to share what we think is important as parents.
Dr. Siobhan O'Higgins, sexual health promoter, co-lead of the Active Consent Programme, member of the NCCA Development Group for Junior Cycle SPHE. Thank you very much. John, you wanted to give us a postscript, your take on that?
Yeah, she led me nicely onto that, because content and curriculum is so important. And I think the positive news from Minister Foley's announcement today is that the department is taking control of this. About 2 years ago, we counted up approximately 40 different external providers, both not-for-profit and for-profit, going into our primary schools, teaching probably up to 40 different types of curriculum. So this is a really positive announcement from the Minister today.
Okay, and consistency, everyone should get the
absolutely
same course delivered by professionals.
Absolutely, we know what our children are being taught, and we can take part in that.
John, thank you very much for joining us. That's John Church, ISPCC Chief Executive.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.